Keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk.
Bona fide talk. Bona fide talk, yeah.
Praise God, Church. I am your host, Evangelist Falana, and you are listening to the Christian radio broadcast, Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us today and equally delighted about our featured guest, a true woman of God. She is truly about to educate us on many things regarding that hideous Jezebel demon, a ministry that is definitely on the rise. The way that she conveys messages and her delivery is point on. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our featured guest, Prophetess Karen Brang. Hey, Prophetess.
Hi. Pretty good.
Prophetess Karen, we thank you so very much for being the featured guest on Bonafide Talk tonight, and it's such short notice. It was unfortunate that our initial guest was going to be Chief Apostle Douglas Hobson, who incidentally did a phenomenal job with the 30 traits of Jezebel, and we ran out of time. We didn't even have the opportunity to go through the other 15, but I just want to give him a round of applause also, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Apostle Hobson. So, Prophetess Karen, before we begin, would you please inform our listeners as to your background and what studies you've done regarding what I like to call demonology?
I'm a prophetic seer. So that means that I see in the spirit all the five senses that you have within the spirit realm. You know, the five senses you have in the natural, I have them in the spirit. And things in the spiritual realm defy logic, mathematics, and science, as I said before. And it also, I have a PhD in biblical studies, but the PhD has nothing on what the Holy Spirit has allowed me to see within the spiritual realm, which when I deal with dreams and visions. So I just thank God for, you know, him giving me these gifts, because without God giving me these gifts, I probably wouldn't be able to explain things the way that I do, because it's just God. God gives us special gifts because you have a purpose within the kingdom. And I just thank him, because without him, I am nothing. I mean, I'm a filthy rag in his sight. And I'm just used as a vessel. And I'm just so thankful. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, but most of the time, this spirit is seen in every sector of society. It's seen in Hollywood, the music industry, politics, and especially the body of Christ. And this spirit can be found among people that are vulnerable, emotionally wounded, and hurting. So within the body of Christ, you have people that come that are emotionally wounded and hurting and seeking and screaming for deliverance. And there are some certain professions that people seek out where people are wounded and vulnerable: nursing, social work, counseling. All those areas you would find people that operate in the Jezebel spirit. So subconsciously in their mind, these people actually do seek to help and do God's will, but somehow their prophetic gifting has become perverted in some type of way, usually from the spirit of rejection. Usually they have been rejected or abandoned by one or more parents early in life, and that emotional wound has never been quite healed. And one thing about the spirit of rejection, it opens up the doorway for rebellion. And according to 1 Samuel 15:23, we know that rebellion is actually equivalent to witchcraft, even though it doesn't involve the occult arts or actual witchcraft per se as spells, but it imposes your will onto the lives of other people instead of God's will, and that's what makes it witchcraft.
Amen. And we're going to pause right there because you're getting ready to get real deep into this, and that's exactly what we're after. Before we get started, really going, let's open up tonight's radio broadcast with a prayer. So clear our hearts and minds, please. Dear God, we come to you now. We are bowing our heads to you at the throne of grace, dear God. Dear God, we just want to say thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you, dear God, for your blessings upon our lives. Dear God, I ask that you give me and the featured guest prophetess, Prophetess Dr. Karen Brink, the appropriate words to say so that we are able to minister to the needs of your people. I ask that you shield us from the tactics of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, up to and including trying to block this message coming from tonight's radio broadcast. It is all about you, dear God. Dear God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, we're going to go into a quick commercial break. Here is a message from our sponsor, Pastor Frank Henderson of Excel Fellowship.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Frank Henderson, the pastor of Excel Fellowship Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an honor to meet you and to come to you right here on Bonafide Radio. Check it out. Excel Fellowship Church, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 3908 Arrow Drive, right here in the big city of Raleigh, North Carolina. Our mission is real simple. We are reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and manifesting Christ. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Okay, now let's get back to Bonafide Talk.
Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, family. I am your host, Evangelist Falana, and we are so happy that you chose to join us today. I see the switchboard. Thank you so much for tuning in to Bonafide Talk tonight, and I see you guys in the chat room also. Hey, if you guys in the chat room have a question or comment or will I contribute to tonight's radio broadcast, feel free to post and you will get acknowledged. Everyone that is on the switchboard that I see, whenever you're ready to chime in, if you have a question, comment, or a contribution to tonight's show, press 1, okay? Now, Prophetess Karen, you were about to talk to us about pretty much the nucleus of this Jezebel demon, correct?
Yes.
Okay. We're worried now. Oh, as you know, the purpose of this interview is to enlighten others of the various tactics of the enemy. One must know, obviously, who they're up against to be effective in spiritual warfare. Amen. And prayerfully, this will be educational to our listeners as they will be able to quickly identify the Jezebel demon traits to act, you know, versus react. You know, no longer get caught off guard and be aware of who and what we are up against so that we can better prepare for battle versus getting caught off guard and getting totally beat up on. Now, where did you leave off on Prophetess Karen?
Well, I was going to start talking about the characteristics, but I'm going to give you the definition of what Jezebel's name actually means. Her name actually means without dwelling or cohabitation. So it simply means that if a person possessed by this spirit refuses to live together or cohabit with anyone, because Jezebel will not dwell with anyone unless this spirit can control or dominate the relationship. When she seems submissive and servant-like, it's only for the sake of gaining some type of strategic advantage. So from her heart, and I'm calling it a she because Jezebel was an actual person in the Old Testament, but it's a spirit, so it can be a man or a woman. The main characteristics are controlling, rebellion, envy, the queen bee syndrome, this person has to be the center of attention, nasty, arrogant, prideful, plans evil, That means plans, wicked schemes, and plots to try, and malicious things to try to bring people down, and will not apologize for it. It's an unteachable spirit. That means you can't tell it anything because they know it all. And they have aggressive attempts to divide relationships in church, in families, and on jobs.
So I'll say this. The earliest recollection, that I have regarding being attacked by a Jezebel demon, there was an issue. I mentioned this on the last episode. There was this young lady. I was a supervisor at a call center, and there was this young lady who was there that really had no respect for me at all, gave me a very hard time on the job, and somehow strategically managed to get everyone on the job to be against me. Later in life, not knowing exactly what was happening to me, of course, I went through a lot not knowing exactly what I was up against because I'm so accustomed, or I was so accustomed to Prophetess Karen, being aware of when I've done something wrong to someone that would justify certain behavior. But in reality, I had done nothing. So based on what you're telling me, would you say that I was up against the Jezebel demon? I mean, I personally think so, but what would you say to that?
I do, because the heart of that spirit is manipulation, intimidation, control, and rebellion. So what that spirit does, it manipulates and twists everything. So it causes people to think, you know, you have to really pray when you go up against a spirit like this, because you will think it's something wrong with you. And everybody around also, because it causes like a clique. People that actually are possessed by this spirit are drawn to one another. And usually it's like unconsciously they develop like a coven with the main Jezebel, the most powerful Jezebel spirit being the high priestess, or high priest, and the rest of them in the clique being like her followers. And like Jesus Christ made disciples, with the root word of that being discipline. With Jezebel, she has to make followers as well. So what those are people that have no type of spiritual discernment or any type of spiritual maturity or growth. Because this spirit zaps that person or persons within her clique of all their spiritual power that they have in Christ by manipulating them and controlling them. And a lot of times they use personal information that a person has told them or confided in them to use against them later. And that's why we have to be very careful who we choose to confide in about personal things. Because Jezebel is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because if you look at the hunting tactics of a wolf, it mauls a person down. It's about all things flesh. It wants to see blood, and it goes after the victim in packs. Remember I said the clicks? Goes after a victim in packs and mauls the person down until they're ultimately devastated, destroyed. And I would say it would depress them, too, because it starts in the mind. Because the spirit goes against the mind first. And then you manifest all these physical symptoms. Even when this spirit attacks, goes into a church, especially churches that operate within the prophetic ministry, people will come down with all these illnesses, unexplained, mysterious illnesses. And I'll explain them, gastrointestinal problems, headaches, sinus pressure and pain, and other things that can't be explained. Feeling confused and lethargic when you're trying to teach and expose this spirit. And other things, feeling drained and very tired. That's why it's really important that people have intercessors on their side to pray. I mean, because prayer and fasting, Jesus said that prayer and fasting was the most important thing to break some demonic spirits. And with this spirit, it is very demonic because it's a legion of demons. Jezebel has so many subcomponents that goes along with it that not every Jezebel is the same. I mean, some they have similarities, but not every Jezebel is the same. And when you go up against different ones, as God elevates you in the spirit realms, you're going to get Jezebels, because you have some that are not quite full-blown, you know, like babes. Then you have a person that's growing with this spirit, and then you have those that actually operate within the full-blown Jezebel spirit. And by that time comes when someone operates within it being full-blown, as Jesus Christ said in Revelation 2 and 20, he said that he would give her a place to repent. But in verse 22, it says she didn't, so she would put her children, at 23, I will kill her children with death, and all churches shall know that I am the one who searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto them every one of you according to your works. So Jesus Christ is the one that was speaking in Revelation chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, and I'm kind of paraphrasing for the sake of time, but
right.
Jesus Christ was speaking, saying that he would put that spirit on his sickbed and strike her children dead. So that's pretty deep for Jesus Christ to say something about this particular spirit. Once somebody operates in it in its fullest, it needs to be destroyed, usually because by that time, the spirit of pride and being an ego is just too much. It's not going to want to repent. So the likelihood of it repenting of a person possessed at that point is probably zero. If you get the person to repent, like in their humble, in the beginning, to try to get to what's hurting them, why are they hurting? Why are they doing all this malicious behavior? Because usually misery wants company. And it's
right.
Usually because a person is hurting and they're in pain. It's something that they haven't gotten over. Usually from childhood or a past hurt that may be a traumatic event that could occur within their life. But
Let's elaborate on something. You mentioned the different levels of the Jezebel spirit. Could you elaborate on the different levels of the Jezebel spirit?
Well, I know nowadays you see that spirit manifesting in little girls as young as like 12, 13, 14. I would say that it would start then. That is like in the baby stage. Let's say that little girls, you know how some of them long to be with their fathers, but they abandon them and never come back?
Yeah.
And it may manifest into like maybe their mother maybe had the spirit too, because sometimes this spirit can be in your lineage, in your ancestral lineage, like a generational curse. And
wow.
So maybe mom is feeding the little girl, saying her spirit with spiritual pollution and words, saying, well, if it wasn't for you, he wouldn't have left. And so that spirit of rejection grows into, I would say, let's say she becomes in her 20s and feels like that she, and say she gets married, she feels like that she has to control everyone around her, including her husband and her household. And we know that the man is the priest of the household, and the woman is the helpmeet. Not to say that women cannot operate, you know, in their spiritual gifts when the Holy Spirit gives utterance. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying usurping a man's authority and not allowing him to be the protector of the house and be the man that he is supposed to be, but trying to control what he does, what he says, what he wears. And there are people that are like that. His career, to where he can't make decisions for himself and for the family, you know, as the father, as the husband, because he's the protector. You have some women, and I would say about 85 to 90% of this spirit is infected in women, because it's a seducing spirit. And being that it's a seducing spirit and intertwined with some type of lust to suck people in, it's primarily in very intelligent women who are very attractive. The reason because the enemy uses the gifts sometimes and talents that God has given us, but perverts them by open a little crack when you were a little kid with that rejection, and then he'll allow that broader door to open up when with rebellion when you get in your 20s, you know, not allowing you to be taught, meaning you have an unteachable, prideful spirit, opening that doorway for rebellion, forcing your will on other people when God has given a person a particular destiny for your life, but you feel like you know more than God. And that's you, when that spirit is gaining ground, like say it's growing. But when it becomes mature, it begins to do malicious things. Like malicious things as far as, let's say the more mature side was what they did to Jesus Christ when they planned his murder, his crucifixion, because everything that was done was illegal. Nothing was supposed to be done in the house of a high priest. It was supposed to be done in a temple, but they planned it at night. Nothing was supposed to be done at night. But due to the spirit of envy and jealousy, they did everything illegal and malicious to try to bring about Christ's death. And although something good came from it, the hearts of these men were very evil. You understand what I'm saying? They were allowing the enemy to use them. And see, that actually happens in churches. Let me give you an example of, I would guess, in a ministry I was in recently. It was an apostle I was under, and I saw something within this particular individual when they were praying on her conference line. And I said, do not let that person come to Detroit, because this person would cause division. I seen a spirit within that person. It was a serpentine spirit that had a head of a cobra, the teeth of a walrus, and the body of a python. Pythons, what do? They squeeze everything out of their prey. Teeth mean to devour. Whenever you see teeth, and see John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to steal, to kill,
steal,
and
kill,
destroy.
And destroy. Amen.
Yeah, and then the cobra spirit is though it's a spirit just like in the natural that spews venomous poison and lies to try to cause division within a ministry. And see, if somebody, you know, and not saying that I know everything, but the Bible says, out of the mouth of two witnesses shall this thing be established. An evangelist also saw something, but yet that person refused to listen, let this person come. And I was warring against this thing because I could see it. I mean, nobody else could, because whenever you make a soul tie with a spirit, whether Jezebel or not, you're not going to be able to see objectively and accurately until this spirit actually lunges an attack towards you.
Let me ask you a question, Prophetess. Let's tap into, you mentioned earlier, if I heard you correctly, that 90% of the people that are infested with this Jezebel demon are women. Let's talk about the other 10%, the men. What is the difference between how the Jezebel spirit operates in women in versus men?
With men, the same thing. There was a spirit of abandonment or rejection. Maybe, and sometimes, it didn't have to be early with a man. Say that he went through a really bad experience in a church. Say he started out being okay, because I remember something recently when because I counsel clergy a lot. This particular man, he started out, he was okay, but something happened to where he had a bad experience in his church and he just wouldn't let it go. We as Christians have to let go and forgive and let God take care of certain things. He held on to that hurt. A lot of times, sometimes in a small percentage of cases, it can happen in childhood, but most often when a Jezebel spirit affects a man, it's usually because of something that happened within his ministry. And he has refused to forgive. He's suffering from a spirit of rejection because the church has rejected him in so many levels. So the doorway of rebellion is opened, and then that Jezebel spirit manifests. Also, it happens because men, because they can be rejected by their fathers. That's another reason.
Wow.
Because the father isn't present, and they seek, and they're so seeking, because most people that have Jezebel spirits, they actually want to be a perfectionist. And nobody is a perfectionist because nobody's perfect except for God. But
Amen.
People possessed by this spirit, I would say men and women, want to be viewed as being perfect because the heart of this spirit is idolatry. It wants to be worshipped. It wants to
okay.
be seen. Yeah, yeah. And in men, I would say with that, it wants to be worshipped because it wants to be thought of as being important, because it's a false exterior for having low self-esteem. You understand what I'm saying? It's low self-esteem.
I do understand.
Yeah, on both areas, but with a man, the rejection probably comes later in most cases because they hadn't got over something that happened in ministry. But one thing about a man, when he has this particular spirit, if it doesn't manifest in something else, into another spirit, usually men can't live a long time with this spirit because they develop some type of heart problem, heart ailment, or heart disease. Just like King Saul, he had this spirit, and remember, he committed suicide. It just can't live long in a man. And if it does live longer in a man, it manifests into the spirit of Absalom. Prince Absalom was King David's son. And remember, he rose, he took vigilante justice. He killed his brother because he raped
right.
his sister. And then he was going to go after his father to take his kingdom. It's like a person that feels like they're going to take the law into their own hands because of vigilante justice. Or they feel that they could take justice into their own hands by establishing kingdoms or establishing ministries regardless of who they step on or who they have to hurt to get there. And that's not what Christ and what it's about. It's about winning souls for Christ. It's not about stepping on people, hurting people, and causing harm, because Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 23 that says, "Woe is the shepherds who scatter my sheep." Yeah. So you're not supposed to scatter the sheep, because Christ is going to hold us accountable for that. Because if we have a problem within ourselves, we have to examine ourselves. Doesn't the Bible tell us to examine ourselves? And all of us go through something, you know, especially people that operate prophetically have very much been rejected by the church. Because when we go back and we look at the Old Testament and we look at how people spoke out, you know, against leaders, because oftentimes you're speaking out against leaders to try to tell them to get their house in order, to get into the right alignment with Jesus Christ. And when we're speaking to tell people to get into the right alignment with Christ, people get mad with us because they take it personal. And it's not to be taken personal. It's for you to be edified, to be built up, to be exhorted. That means educated in a spiritual and an educational way, and to be brought forth comfort so you don't die and go to hell in your sin. And I'm keeping it real. It's not, you know, because God oftentimes will reveal stuff to us for certain leaders that we be assigned, because most leaders, I would say 95% of them, start out with you know, good intentions. But something
right,
always
right.
happens. And I would say pride is the number one problem that gets in the way of leaders being elevated and advanced in the spirit, because God is the only person that elevates and advances
Amen.
Spiritually.
That's true. And you know something, Prophetess Karen, you mentioned a moment ago that issue of believing, and I'm certain that you're right, that prophets and prophetess are the ones that are most attacked, but I'm here to tell you, I don't consider myself a prophetess. I'm an evangelist. I tell you the truth. With the ministry that God has entrusted me with, my experience has taught me that church people do not like to be criticized constructively or otherwise, but praise God that God is the master of the impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we're going to tap more into some soul ties. She mentioned soul ties, and I want us to really get into that, because that's a serious emotional bond right there. Master of Impossible by Pastor Andre.
enemy. All the blessings that they said I would receive. My cold shoulder, like God's promises, rolled down my sleeve. I was a child of the 80s, era of crack babies. Mom and pops was addicted. I was bad and didn't listen. Traveling on the road to destruction. It felt so good doing wrong. It was nothing. You showed me that you love me. Turn the heat up, but for now, put me in the booth and turn the beat up. I'm trying to visualize how I'm gonna act when I see ya. Yeah. They can do what they want, but I'ma follow the leader. So you can do what you do, but I'ma do what he say. Jesus is a DJ, my life is on replay. Hell is too hot, mucho caliente. Cut my feet off, I'm still running like Kunta Kinte. Christ be looking at my life like, what you doing with it? I got my spirit on tight, I ain't screwing with it. Failure ain't an option in my household. That's why I keep my circle small like a mouse hole. Mousetrap, had to use rap to get out that. If it ain't Christ, I ain't bout that. Power in the name, so I shout that. If the Holy Spirit was a virus, then I'm sick, cause I already caught that. Yeah.
I owe you everything.
All of the glory.
All of the glory.
Forever and ever.
Scheming on how to be a dope pimp. But mama slapped it out my hand, slapped me across my head, and it was back to reality. A day in the life, a little man throwing rocks and kicking cans, playing hopscotch over quicksand, shooting hoops through shopping carts, living the street art, surviving our street smarts. DRE, the Elvis of three, represent my family tree, which was started by Edward and Emily. Granny from Maggie, Pappy from Manny, fell in love at first. Divorced the next night. Moved straight out the country to the city life. I went from picking berries to now I'm picking fights. At school, I was unanimously voted the troublemaking dude. Breaking all the rules, trying to be cool. Between detention and getting suspended in elementary, headed for the state penitentiary. Eventually running head on to a brick wall. On the edge of the cliff, about to fall. Sometimes I feel like I shouldn't even be here. Praying I don't finish life how I started. A champion knowing that I must overcome and let the glory of my story be rewarded.
Proving nothing's impossible.
I was
That was Master of Impossible by Pastor Andre. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. I'm your humble host, Evangelist Falana, and with us tonight is the lovely prophetess, Dr. Karen Brank. Thank you so much again, Karen. Thank you so much, honey. As I knew you would, you bring to the forum so much insight on so many things on a physical and emotional level regarding demonology. Let's start with what you mentioned earlier, soul ties. Elaborate on that, please, exactly what those are and how they are developed.
Jezebel uses her bewitching powers of seduction to lure her victims and to create soul ties. And the Jezebel spirit is a strong, you know how you have the strong man? That's the strong man within a particular person. Because people say you have to get to the strong man. You have to cast out all these other demons before you get to the strong man. That particular spirit is the strong man. So you have to get past the rejection, the bitterness, the rebellion, and get to that strong man. but she works as a network of demon powers to climb her ladder of control. You understand what I'm saying? She has to go through all those things before she escalates into a full-blown Jezebel, like the babe, the growing, and then full-blown Jezebel. And some of these arrows in her quiver that create soul ties include the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of divination, and the spirit of seduction or seducing spirit. Jezebel is a master of seduction. The word seduction literally means to lead astray. She leads people astray by a step-by-step process of temptation and enticement, causing people to do something that they wouldn't normally do. The spirit of seduction and the spirit of witchcraft are cousins. They're similar, a class of evil spirits, but both are used by the spirit of Jezebel. The bait that Jezebel uses to create soul ties, a lot of times this spirit is sent to a church in the form of an attractive woman. A lot of times sexual immorality. Usually you have pastors that fall prey to a person operating in this spirit with sexual immorality, with adultery, with other people that have a hurting and want attention from other people, emotional manipulation, sharing life experiences, sharing personal tragedies with a person that is possessed by this spirit, loss of a loved one, false flattery. That means they'll come to you telling you you're so anointed, consoling you, reaching out to you when you're lonely. You create soul ties with Jezebel by agreeing with Jezebel offenses, agreeing with a person operating in this spirit's hurts, emotional wounds, and unforgiveness toward those in leadership. And that's how ties are developed and established. Once these soul ties have been established, Jezebel victim becomes a follower or a eunuch. A eunuch is a child of a Jezebel spirit. A spiritual eunuch has nothing to do with male gender. It's a castrated, it's a castrated male. But a eunuch in his spirit is a person without the ability to reproduce. That means to make decisions on their own. They have to run to this person before they can make any decisions. You ever seen a person like that? They'll call themselves a leader, but they have to run to a particular individual before they can make a decision.
Even to
make friends with someone, they'll go, let me go ask my sister if I can do that.
Why would you have to ask your sister? I have an instance about that recently. I won't go into a whole lot of details about that, but I was, let's say I was starting something, I was going to build on something, and everything was fine until this serpent, and I have no choice, and I'm not picking on him or anything like that, but clearly he was. He was able to manipulate this person into thinking that I did not have his best interest at heart, that I had all the wrong motives and all these things, and at the end of the day, after he did his dirt, he was gone. You know, so clearly it was not of God that created that division between me and this particular individual. Now, I had a question for you too, Prophetess Karen, regarding this soul tie. Oftentimes, let's say between two people, we're going to step out of the church for just a second. Are these soul ties oftentimes developed through sexual intercourse?
Yes, they can be developed through sexual intercourse. You know, spirits can actually transfer through sexual intercourse, and I don't think people really know that they can, because they're called sexually transmitted demons. And we talked about that one time on a conference line I had. It's called the incubus and the succubus. Those are the most likely demonic spirits that are transferred through sexual intercourse. But also, sexual soul ties can be developed. Soul ties can be developed through sexual intercourse. Now, there are godly soul ties, and that's usually with a man or with a man and a woman in a marriage, in a healthy marriage relationship. But for a married man to begin sleeping with some unknown woman that comes into his ministry and he's married, clearly that is an unhealthy, ungodly soul tie. And it happens a lot of times because usually the enemy will send, he knows what your weaknesses are. And there
that
are a lot of there are a lot of people in the body of Christ that struggle with lust.
Yes.
And so the enemy will know that crack is there. And so he'll do anything to cause you to be seduced. And once Jezebel is able to spring her web, because it is a black widow spider syndrome that she deals with. And what I'm saying is, with in the natural, female spiders actually mate with the males, and then they eat the male a lot of times. So the male spider has to get away. With this particular spirit, it comes in to usurp the male leader's authority and to actually divide his church. Because some of the symptoms of a Jezebel spirit in full operation within a church is cliques within the body of Christ. When you go to a church, you have confidential information about people being breached, and you have people leaving the church in record numbers. A lot of times the church ends up in financial trouble because they can't pay their bills, because it was a thriving ministry. And all the people, you know, I'm not saying that churches, I'm not saying that you got to have a lot of members to have a church, but if you have bigger churches, like a mega church or a larger size ministry, you do need to have the people there to give so you can pay your bills. And one of the symptoms that Jezebel does, she comes in and runs the people off. And usually it's the prophetic people first. They'll run the prophetic.
Wow.
I had that happen to me. I was ran off, although it was a Baptist church, and we didn't call ourselves prophet or any of the names in the fivefold ministry. I was identified as a prophet, and I was ran off. But it was for the best. I wondered why did God allow me to be there. The reason was God needed to show me what a false prophetess looked like, or a false prophet looked like, because I needed to know the difference between what a real one looked like and what a false one looked like. And a lot of times these spirits can hide and become dormant, and that's something I want to get to later, to where you can't see them. They're like chameleons. It's like a green snake on green grass. You can't see the spirit because it hides. And so we have to be careful, because in the last days it said that even the elect will be fooled. And that happened to me a lot of times because I couldn't see them, because a person was operating with a chameleon spirit. A lot of times you can't see, you know, it until you get really close.
You know, I think the thing that gets me, Prophetess Karen, is as I reflect on my life on a couple of different instances that I'll share later on, after you begin to talk about what you want to talk about. I'm thinking of this incident in particular where this young lady that I thought was my friend, in retrospect, I recognize now that I was more her friend than she was mine. Because, you know, I would do for her, and I could barely reach her if I needed something. But anyway, long story short, she has prophetic gifts. And that's something that Chief Apostle Hobson mentioned on the last episode, the 30 traits of the Jezebel demon. This demon, I know for a fact, has prophetic gifts. This young lady could preach like the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've seen her do her thing, and she is so good, very charismatic, very, you know, engaging and that type of thing. Well, long story short, I'm going to try to shorten this up. I have been running from evangelism since 2003, 2004 for all so many different reasons. Didn't want to give up certain things, like, God, are you sure? You know, and like I had the nerve to question God. Well, there came a point in my time, 2011, I reached out to who I thought was my friend, and I told her that I was going to answer my call to evangelism. Well, I'll have you folks know, Bonafide Talk family, that she was evil. I had gone to her house and had inadvertently left my Facebook page up, and this particular night I decided to not have a guest on the show but talk about freedom and forgiveness. Well, I wake up the next day thinking that people are texting me to give a high five about how good of a job they thought I had done. this Jezebel spirit comes up in full bloom, ladies and gentlemen. She has gone into my Facebook page. Now, mind you, just like you said, Karen, I had told her so many different intimate things.
Mm-hmm.
And she told a lot of untruths on me and told a lot of very embarrassing truths, too. But fortunately, by the grace of God, people knew me, so they knew
Amen.
What I was capable of doing. So God said in his word, ladies and gentlemen, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and I praise him today. The devil. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, the devil did not prosper. No, not at all. So what I'm saying to you people is that today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Here is Rejoice and Believe by Bishop Becca.
Magnificent and covered it in all of your ways. I come to give you praise. I come to lift your name.
Yes, we do, dear God. Dear God, we give you all the honor and praise. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. I'm your humble host, Evangelist Falana, and with us tonight is Dr. Karen Brank. Karen, quick question for you before we continue with tonight's discussion. I just reached out, or someone reached out to me and told me that there was some interference on the line. Are you able to hear everything okay?
I can hear everything okay.
Okay, very good. Before we get started with what you were going to tackle next, I want to invite our listeners in on this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a switchboard full. If anyone has a question or a comment or would like to contribute to tonight's discussion, talk to us about your different encounters with soul ties or that dad blame Jezebel demon or any situations where you felt like you were mistreated maliciously, press 1 now. Ladies and gentlemen, in the chat room, we love you. If you have anything that you'd like to say, post up in the chat room now. Okay, we have a switchboard for Cameron, that's fine. We're just going to take this opportunity to be educated today, okay? Now, you're about to go into something really deep, and I forget what that was. You said you're going to go into it later.
What did I say? I was talking about so much. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I was talking about the chameleon spirit.
There we go.
Jezebel. I had that happen. What happens is that a person may be in the early stages of the Jezebel spirit. Maybe a pastor or a spiritual leader, elder, apostle, whatever, you know, ask them to come forward, you know, and the person will really be earnestly about being delivered from this spirit of rejection or bitterness or unforgiveness or some of the things that they have been doing, either, I would say, a babe in this spirit or midways. And say they're delivered and it's cast out. It seems that way. But what happens is oftentimes this spirit becomes dormant or it begins to sleep within the person and operate without their knowledge. It's just like syphilis when it goes in that latency stage when it's no longer detectable, you know, only through a blood test. It causes
right.
all the damage to the organs and all those things, but it does it silently. The person silently in the spirit, this person is literally being destroyed because that spirit is sleeping in them. And once they feel rejected or feel like they had their feelings hurt in any type of way, in any type of situation, usually in a church setting, that spirit will manifest itself because it happened to me recently. When I was given a prophetic word to a woman telling her that death was after her, oh, she got so angry with me, but it was in her lineage because not only did the spirit of death come to my room and almost got close in my face, these spirits don't get close to me anymore, but this one did. It got bold, and it even had on a priestly garment, and it got close, so I had to pray with another prophet, and she said, it's there. I can see it. Another seer said, I can see it as well. That spirit, I didn't see it. I didn't see it at all, but that this dormant spirit of Jezebel manifested itself because she felt rejected because I said that death was after her. And not only was premature death after her, it was after people within her lineage, in her family, through some type of generational curse. So oftentimes when people operate like this, when that spirit is like a chameleon where you can't see it, it's oftentimes in their lineage. In the, you know, within their family, they pass it down through their family line. You could pass down a generational curse of poverty or alcoholism or certain diseases, but you also can pass down this spirit, this generational curse of the Jezebel spirit through your bloodline. So it's very important that you examine, you know, yourselves and pray. If you have a controlling grandmother or mother or father or what, examine those things and renounce those particular spirits that are within your bloodline.
For the average person, Prophetess Karen, that doesn't have the gift that you do for seeing, let's talk about symptomatic things. What are some of the first things that the average person should look out for to better ensure that they are not victimized by this demon?
when that discernment within you is tripped, discernment is that silent alarm that we talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
that lets you know in your heart, your mind, and your spirit that something is wrong and you should proceed with caution. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If a person comes to you and tells you they were sent by God to help you, that's one of the number one things that they say that they're sent by God to help you. Now, usually God is going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you first whether someone is sent to help you. He's going to, you know, manifest it in some type of way, telling you that help will be sent for your ministry or whatnot. But these people are pop out of nowhere, and you usually have an uneasiness. It's an uneasiness that they carry about them. They carry a spirit of confusion about them. Everywhere they go, they cause people to be upset. So it's a spirit of confusion and chaos that they carry. And usually people that know them know that they carry this spirit on them because they have caused a path of destruction wherever they went, like tearing up churches. What happens is when this spirit is detected, they just leave before they're asked to leave, and then they start the process all over again. So it's really important that you're able to detect it yourself. Usually those physical ailments like the headaches that we were talking about, you come down with these mysterious illnesses. Usually they plague a whole congregation. I start having these mysterious illnesses because this person usually is praying for the entire congregation and usually praying witchcraft prayers over people. That means praying, you know, wicked things over people. And what happens is God does not honor those type of prayers, but what happens is the kingdom of darkness intercepts those prayers and launches an arsenal of attack on God's people. And that's why we must keep ourselves covered, you know, with prayer all the time. You know, and pastors, they have to have their own intercessors that are able to pick those things up. If your intercessor comes to you and says that something is not quite right with a person, you need to listen to them, especially if it's a person that doesn't say anything. It's not a person that usually doesn't say anything about anyone. It is usually quiet, and in the background. Listen to your intercessors because God has given them specific spiritual gifts. You know, to be an intercessor, usually intercessors are usually an evangelist or a prophet, and they usually operate with heavy discernment, distinguishing a spirit, operate with words of knowledge. So, and those gifts are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Evangelists and prophets usually have at least 5 of them or more. So listen to your intercessors. I mean,
Quick question for you. We know that it says in the Word that to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. Far be it for me to question God, and it would be shameful for anyone to do so. The purpose of trials and tribulations, from a supernatural standpoint, I know what the purpose is, but for the sake of people who may not know, what is the purpose of this demon Jezebel being allowed to attack us, or any other different trials and tribulations? I call them learning experiences, but I know that you can clarify more than that for us.
Well, when you go through any person that's in the fivefold ministry, and that's Ephesians 4:11 through 12, and it says that I will give you some apostles and I will give you some prophets and I'll give you some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints. Now, with all these particular fivefold ministry ascension gifts and with ordinary believers, there are stages that you go through, stages of a babe, stages of a growing person, and stages of spiritual maturity. And then two in that office you go through. You have to wait on God to birth out your divine purpose. And it says in the Bible that you must wait on the Lord and he will give you a renewed strength and you will be mounted up like an eagle. You will walk and you will not grow weary. You will run and you will not grow faint. In other words, we must wait on God in order, you know, before we step out. Because if we step out too early, we're spiritually underdeveloped. And if we give up, then we abort our assignments. In other words, we go through the same labor and process as a pregnancy. I don't know if people know that. The same process a woman goes through, when regardless of gender, as a pregnancy, and you have to give birth to it. But what the problem is in the church now, people are not willing to go through the labor and the birthing process and the pain of dealing with things so you could give birth to greatness. Because Elijah was an awesome prophet of God, but he had to come up against Jezebel, and she threatened to kill him, and it was that demonic witchcraft that was operating within her that caused him to run. One of the most powerful prophets in history ran because she brought forth depression, she brought forth anger, and then he listened to those demonic lies saying that he was the only prophet that was left. He wasn't. It was just that spirit causes you to become so angry sometimes and so depressed that some people feel like giving up, and he actually felt suicidal at that point. But, you know, God often gives us strength to endure those difficult situations when we're going through with Jezebel. And I know it makes me more angry than anything, because that spirit actually twists everything, and you will leave a situation thinking it is your fault because it's so manipulative, it's so intimidating, it's so controlling, and it's so used to using your weaknesses against you that you do think it's your fault. And that's why you got to be prayed up, and you don't ever attempt to go up against this spirit by yourself. If you're a pastor or a leader, or in a group, you do it with two people, and you sit down. But expect that spirit to go, why are you picking on me? It's going to have a pity party, and it will cry at the drop of a hat. That is the form of manipulation. But stand your ground, pastors, because it takes a very courageous pastor to stand up against this particular spirit. Because most of the time, most pastors, I wouldn't say they're afraid. They just don't want to do it because they know the damage that it'll cause. Oh, I don't want to deal with that spirit. Because we've all been through it, even as a social worker. Because I was a social worker, I had to deal with that spirit. I didn't understand why through all my career, 17 years as being a social worker, because I thought I was pretty good at it, but I always went up against this spirit. Every single time, a spirit, a person that felt that I was trying to take their job away from them. And there was no way that I could have done it because I didn't have the seniority to do it. Now, I had the skills to do it and the education too, but I didn't desire to be a supervisor. I wanted to work with the people. But
Amen.
This person's demented mind, they thought that I was after their job, so they made me miserable on jobs.
And we all have been through that
where we have been miserable on jobs. But see, with social work, again, that spirit deals with hurting and wounded people. So usually it's a lot of people that are possessed by that spirit that operate and work in social work and counseling. And so I had a lot of problems in it, but I was very successful in other areas in that job. A lot of it was because of prophetic gifts. It wasn't because of wisdom of my own, but it came from divine, a higher power, hallelujah, the Most High God. And that's something that other people can't understand.
There you go.
Operating within the Most High God. And I thank God. Amen.
Well, you know what? As you know, Karen, ladies and gentlemen, you guys should by now know me very well. And if you don't, let me be bona fide talk with you. I am an advocate of presenting a problem without presenting a solution does nothing but present another problem. So when we get back, Dr. Karen Brink is going to talk to us about how we can give the beat down once and for all to this Jezebel demon. So today is your day, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Today's Your Day by Chris the Artist.
Now this is for everybody that has a petition before the Lord. No longer will you have to wait. It shall not perish. I've come to tell you that it's yours. What you've been praying for, God said that today it is yours. You gotta have an enough faith to believe. Because you said that your strength was his joy, and you waited upon the Lord. I've come to tell you your time is right now. To get what you've been praying for. To walk into that season, yeah. To receive the blessing is yours. You've been holding on a long, long while. You kept the faith and you did not come down. Because you know the race is not given to the swift.
Amen, Crystal. Go ahead, girl. I love that song by Crystal Artist. Today is your day. She's beautiful. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. And later on, you'll hear the archive to the show on the BFTM Radio Network. Hey, the BFTM Radio Network is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Go to getbonafide.org. That's GE.org. Hey, that's some of the best, that's home, rather, of some of the best internet radio shows in the country. We have yours truly, Evangelist Falana, with Bonafide Talk. We also have Beyond the Walls of Jericho with radio talk show host Kareem McDuffie. And we'll also have Robin Manley with Relationships and You. Coming up next is going to be, in very short order, Verlin Talton with Your Marriage and Chief Apostle Douglas Hobson with the Prophetic Chambers. Karen, let's talk about how to defeat this demon. What are the steps?
One of the things is confrontation. You got to confront it, because once you see that you have a problem within your ministry, it has to be confronted. Number one is to seek counsel about any personal blind spots or weaknesses you have from those who are spiritually mature. So I would say that you would, if you have somebody that's mentoring you, that you would seek them out and ask them to pray with you. Probably someone with a prophetic gifting or apostolic gifting that you can seek counsel with. I would say you would pray before you would confront somebody with this spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any hidden issues. If you allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, it is amazing how issues will surface that we hadn't previously known. I mean, because sometimes, like I said, there's a chameleon spirit. Sometimes there's spirits that hide. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom to discern what is spiritual by discovering what demonic spirits the individual has embraced and brought into your ministry. Ask for discernment about what is natural or from the person's upbringing, such as harsh parental issues or the spirit of rejection. Avoid being angry at all costs. Keep calm when talking to a person like this because they're going to twist your words. Do not overreact or make the issue larger than it is. That's what they want you to do. Do not ignore the problem because one thing about this spirit when it's in a church, time is not on your side because the longer that you take to confront this problem, the more that it will manifest itself and spread. It's like, I would say, the intestinal flu, intestinal spiritual flu for our church ministry. Whenever you have Jezebel, you have to deal with it immediately. Time isn't on your side, so you can't ignore it. It won't disappear. And from the moment that a problem is suspected, document all third-party information. Review dates, times, places, and what was said to piece together actually what was happening. Because when you come to this person, you have to present them with facts, all okay. these facts, all the things that they have done, because they cause malicious things to happen to where people are deeply hurt that will carry this hurt with them for many years. It will sometimes take people years or months to heal from this. So it's often, it is vital that you confront this person because what happens is God will bring judgment upon your ministry and your church if you don't do anything about it. And if you bring it to a pastor's attention, say you're not the pastor, and he does nothing about it because he probably or he or she has formed a soul tie with this individual, it's best that you leave. It's best
outside
that you leave. Go to God
outside.
And you ask him because you don't want to be there when judgment comes. God issues
Amen.
Judgment on churches. He does.
Yes,
I have
does.
Seen it happen. Because I know I got out just in time. And I had a lot of mysterious illnesses, too. I couldn't stop having these sinus infections and headaches. It was terrible. It was just terrible all the time. Confront the issue with grace, but with firmness and love. You do it with love. But don't be afraid of what this person is going to do because a lot of times in the beginning they'll come to you saying you're so anointed, you're so this, you're so that. But when you do that, they will call all these people, well, they've already been doing it, and causing division by saying, like say in my own ministry, Karen needs prayer, something wrong with her. She's underdeveloped. And so everybody's like, what's going on? What's wrong with you? Why does this person think that you need prayer? And that's why time is not on your side. You have to get the person out. And sometimes you might lose a few members because this spirit makes followers. And that's okay because the people that flock to that spirit usually are infected with that same spirit as well. But oftentimes when they come to their senses, the damage is already done. They're going to end up being hurt by that particular demon. And see, even if we have made an alliance with someone that has a spirit like this, we have to renounce those soul ties and repent.
Amen.
Amen, because we make mistakes, and it's always a lesson to be learned. And,
always.
You know, some people come in your life as a lesson, and some of them come to you as a blessing. And
Amen.
People that are possessed by this particular spirit is a lesson learned. Just don't hold it. And use it to teach others from it because it's always going to be somebody that's going to come to you and say that they're going through something.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. And it says, like, for a pastor that you tape record the meeting, but you got to ask permission for that. And be sure to let the individual know you're taping the meeting and set the tape recorder to be open for use. And that's just to protect you. A lot of this information is in a book called Unmasking a Jezebel Spirit. The steps were in here by the late John Paul Jackson. He is awesome. A lot of the teachings are on YouTube that he teaches. That was just the part that I had about what to do because he has the steps in there on what to do. And it's just real important that these steps are followed because if you don't follow those steps and you walk in not knowing what you're supposed to do, not prayed up, that spirit will turn on you and you'll walk away just as confused and angry and depressed like it was
you
your
know something,
fault.
Karen? Outside of the church, I can only speak from my personal experience. There was this guy that I was actually before salvation, guys, I was living with. And he was able to determine before I wanted to acknowledge, I had been called since 2003, 2004, but before I was even ready to acknowledge it, that I had certain spiritual gifts. Okay, long story short, shortly after that, first of all, he would never go to church. He had a serious issue with going to church. So that was clue number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so you know, let's find out what's going on, you know. And the number two, you know, one moment I'm wonderful and I'm lovely and I'm beautiful and
mm-hmm.
all these other things and one more guy. Next thing I know, I'm being called an itch bait, a witch, and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so later on, later on down the road, of course, eventually I have to leave him because I wasn't going to subject myself to that. A year or two later, I get a call from him, and he apologizes to me. So at some point during our separation, it appears that whatever he had going on with him internally, he made peace with it, and God has taken that Jezebel spirit out of him. I don't know, maybe during that time he had someone pray over him. I don't know. But the point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, is if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, nine times out of ten, it's a duck, okay? Don't allow your personal feelings to interfere with sound judgment and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to, because of what I saw this man go through, I have to give God tonight a round of applause. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
We're having technical difficulties out of the world today, guys. Wow. Hey, that's the technology age. That's the technology age we live in today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're towards the end of our show. We want to thank Dr. Karen Brank for being the featured guest on Bonafide Talk. I'm going to try this applause button again, guys. Thank you so much, Karen.
Yeah.
It just isn't going to happen. Anyway, technology is something else. What is your final comment regarding tonight and the Jezebel demon?
I just think the discernment is key. If you feel in your spirit that something is wrong, it usually is. Proceed with caution. And sometimes people are going to fool us. Even the elect, it says in the Bible, will be fooled. But all you have to do is to repent. But if you told the truth and you were being honest, because sometimes, like I said, some people come in your life as a lesson and some come as a blessing. But it is just so vital that we pray and see God and study the scriptures to show thyself to approve, rightly dividing the word of God. And I just thank God for tonight.
Amen.
For allowing
Amen.
Me to, even though it seemed like people were quiet, but you said there were some technical difficulties. Maybe they
there
weren't
were some
able.
Technical difficulties. I'm hoping that, and I trust God. I know that the people that are online got an earful, and I know that they have been educated tonight. And I'm hoping if you guys were trying to press one and you couldn't get through and I wasn't able to acknowledge you, I am so sorry. But this network on Blog Talk has had some issues right now. But thank you guys so much for being so attentive and tuning into Bonafide Talk. And as always,
keep God first in your walk, baby. And that's Bonafide Talk.
Amen.
Bonafide Talk, yeah. Bonafide Talk.